Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Investec Property Fund pre-close update. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Andrew Wooler. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Claudia, and good morning, everyone. I think we're gonna try and run through this fairly quickly. I know we've been giving a fair amount of operational updates and also updates around some of the corporate and de-gearing activity. So, we'll try and avoid any repetition. But we start off with group highlights. I think number one, and has been the key focus for the last 6 months, is the de-gearing flight path, and as you would have seen in the announcement last week, that is now almost entirely complete. We've just got the refinancing of PEL, which will likely complete in mid-October, and that has progressed nicely. 2.5 billion rand of cash received through the deleveraging strategy over the last 6 months. So we kind of put our mast out there, and I think we've delivered on what we said we would do. There's just one last box to tick in the next few weeks. As we look over the last 6 months in terms of trading, obviously, COVID has impacted the full six-month period, and so that is all in the numbers, and we'll talk to some of that a little bit later on. We do expect some improvement going into the second half, obviously with a lot of the retail concessions and discounts and a lot of the insolvency or bad debt being taken in the first half, but we would expect an uptick of that or an improvement from that in the second half. As you again would have seen last week, the payment of the H2 dividend relating to FY20 of about 39 cents. That took us up to 75% of distributable earnings for that financial year. And the board will consider a further top of dividend, upon the successful refinancing in Europe, as well as just looking forward at the bonds that come back at us in December and assuming the status quo remains from an operating environment. Talking to the H1 numbers, we do expect H1 distributable earnings to be down by between 30 and 35%. If we unpack that a little bit, South Africa at an NOI level will be down somewhere between 25 and 30%, which equates to around about 170 million. A lot of that is rent concessions. I think 50 to 60 million of that were rent discounts provided to retailers. Daryl will touch on that shortly. Obviously, longer void periods and negative reversions. Again, Daryl will talk to some of the re-gears that we did in the first half that have led to a short-term shortfall in NOI, but really drive home a sustainability of revenue going forward. And there's some nice deals that have been done there that obviously impact short-term earnings. I guess the story in the sector at the moment is around insolvencies, business rescues, and the impact that has not just on your void periods, but also on bad debts and recoverability. And at the moment, we've seen a fairly big tick up in that, and then variable costs linked to leasing commissions and operating costs at the malls have ticked up. In the UK, the UK business hasn't paid a dividend out in this first 6 months. Their earnings are still looking fairly healthy, only set to come in at around -5% to -7% year over year. But the board of the UK business has been conservative in withholding cash. There's some unknowns around three or four business insolvencies that have happened there. And as soon as they've got clarity over CapEx or refurbishment requirements, the board will look at what to do from a dividend perspective. Marginal tick up in our funding costs just associated with the bridge facilities that we had to extend on the back of the refinancing being pushed out from March, April, when it was expected to complete and got thwarted by COVID to where we think it'll complete in the next few weeks. And obviously all that negativity is really offset by the benefits of our European business. So, with 95% plus cash collection and performing in line with business plan. So that really gives you a sense of where we will be and the key drivers for H1. From a balance sheet perspective, we expect our LTV to come in at about 38% post this refinancing. At 30 September, it probably sits at about 43%. Short-term liquidity is well managed. We've got $1.4 billion of debt maturing over the next 12 months. And to cover that, we've got $1.8 billion of unutilized cash or facilities. Offshore exposure is maintained at 33% of our balance sheet. And I think you're seeing the benefit of this diversified investment or balance sheet in terms of local and offshore, as well as across the sectors. We've got 50% of the total balance sheet currently weighted towards logistics and warehousing globally, with less than 25% exposure to retail, which we know has been hit the hardest over the pandemic. So I'll hand over to Daryl, who'll run through South Africa, and then we'll pick up on some of the international businesses after that.
Good morning, Daryl here. So just to kick off, I say the South African portfolio has navigated a very taxing operating environment, with the business being terribly frustrated and constrained as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as a very weak domestic market, which preceded the COVID pandemic. Having said that, our ExCo team, our asset managers and their teams have performed in a commendable fashion, really maintaining the morale of the business, morale of the team. There's been a high degree of tenant interaction, and these activities combined have stemmed what we believe is a leakage of tenants and tenant income, and has firmly controlled the fixed operating costs in the fund. There isn't more that we could have done as a team, so very proud of the business. And it's within this context that I'd like to present just a high-level summary of SA with some further color across the three property sectors. So as Andrew mentioned, and he often talks to my hymn sheet here, so there's a bit of repetition, but we do anticipate a like-for-like base NPI decline of between 25 and 30%. That's against September last year, which was up 1.3%. And that translates to a decline of between 175 and 210 million rand lower. It is driven by concessions, business failures, and included in that is the Edcon restructure, as well as an increased vacancy across the portfolio. The property expenses have been very controlled, but the cost to income ratio will worsen as a result of the factors driven by the COVID-19 pandemic. There's been rental concessions, increased vacancy with longer void periods, and we've got bad debts from tenant insolvencies and business rescue proceedings. The rental collections has been solid at 87% of contractual billings for the 5 months to August 2020. 83 million rands of concessions have been granted, which comprises approximately 55 million rands worth of discounts and 28 million rands worth of deferrals. Most of the discounts, 48 million rand of those discounts, has been provided to retail tenants, being our national retailers, SMMEs, retail line shops, and the restaurants. The debtors have increased by 21 million rand from the March FY20. Which was at 74 million rand, so that takes debtors up to 95 million rand. Again, attributable to rental deferrals, and we've written off the year-to-date debtors, written off as 55 million rand as a result of business rescue or insolvency. The team has successfully renewed or relet 66% of the expiring space during the first half of 2021, with a further 102,000 square meters of early letting at a combined rental reversion of a negative 13.3%, but a very low incentive level of only 2.1%. And we've always maintained a very low incentive level in the portfolio. 61% of the space expiring for the full year has been let, and we're in discussions over a further 126,000 square meters of space, which is 57,000-odd square meters expiring during FY21 and 69,000 squares early letting for FY22. The in-force escalations are at 7.5%, and the early lease extensions will impact the NOR but provide the fund with long-term lease tenure and sustainability. And I think the most notable across this portfolio has really been the regear of the Massmart leases, which was 6 builders' warehouses and 3 game stores, which generate now a 10-year extension on 52,000 square meters in the portfolio, and 1 Masscash, which has been extended about 5 years. Again, it talks to the robustness of this portfolio because it's every single Massmart store within our portfolio was regeared, and this is a common theme across a number of retailers that we've spoken to, where our retail malls are performing in the top sector performance in their portfolios. Investec Durban, we've renewed a 7-year renewal at 6,500 square meters. The vacancy is expected to increase to 10%, which was up from March 2020, which was at 3.5%. Again, it was a slowdown in letting activity during the lockdown. But approximately 5% of the vacancy is linked to business rescue, and 5% is currently under advanced negotiations. So we are quite optimistic and anticipate to reduce vacancies to around 6% within the next 3 to 6 months based on the current letting negotiations and the activity in the portfolio. If we give some color now to the sectoral performance, the office portfolio, the NPI decline is approximately 20 to 25% year on year, against September 19, which was negative 5.1%, impacted by concessions, business failures, the voids, bad debts, and the vacancy as a result of the slowdown in the leasing activity and the leasing market. Vacancies are expected to close at around 9%, up from 6.9% in March, really attributable to one tenant in one of our properties. And 62% of first half 2021 expiring space has been let or renewed. In the industrial portfolio, the NPI decline is approximately 10 to 15% year on year against September 2019, which was negative 9.6%. Again, due to increased voids and vacancy rates, there has been a short-term spike in the vacancy to 19%, which is up from 3.5% in March, arising from business failures, delinquencies, and subdued demand and leasing activity over this period. That said, we are in advanced negotiations with over 40,000 square meters of space, which represents 8% of the vacancy, which will reduce the industrial vacancy to close to 11% if successfully concluded. And 50% of the first half expiring space has been let or renewed during the period. There is early letting of around 49,000 square meters, which is 10% of the sector's GLA, which will de-risk future income. As far as retail goes, as we expected, it was a sector that was first hit and hardest hit, and it attracted the bulk of the rental discounts and the concessions. So we anticipate a decline in NPR between 30 to 35% year on year, against September 2019, which was plus 3.8%, mostly impacted by concessions. The vacancy has increased to 5.2% since March 2020, which was at 1.4%, attributable to the expiry of one motor dealership of 6,500 square meters and some business failures. Of the 18,700 square meters occupied by Edcon, 14,300 squares of that will be retained following the Edcon restructure, leaving 4,400 squares in that portfolio becoming vacant. The sector is expected to have 95% of the space expiring during the first half of 21 let, and we've seen a solid recovery in our semi-urban malls with the trading density rebounding to pre-COVID conditions. And really what we've seen is we're achieving 2% year-on-year trading density growth. So you've seen a decline in footfall. Footfall over April was 56% year-on-year down. It's now at 16% year-on-year down against August, but we are seeing an increased spend per head, and it's reflecting in a higher turnover density in those portfolios. And then just to conclude, I would say that there are defensive pockets within the portfolio. We're seeing parts of retail are holding up well and looking at quite recovering very well. Pharmacies, supermarkets, homeware, restaurant takeaway and restaurant deliveries are doing well. Our semi-urban malls are witnessing a marked improvement, and we are of the opinion that the complete elimination of offices is not happening. There will be a different use for a while. New demand will be softer, but we are cautiously optimistic in that space as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Daryl. I guess shifting up north and looking at Europe from a logistics perspective, certainly been the most resilient asset class within our business and potentially globally, if we look at where capital, both from a debt and equity perspective, is still looking to be deployed. And there has been an increased demand for logistics across Europe. Structural drivers, I think we've mentioned that a few times, around e-commerce, supply chains, et cetera, and we're seeing the benefit of that being captured in our portfolio, and you'll see that through some of the stats as I run through this. From an operational numbers perspective, it is tracking in line with our original acquisition expectations, despite the volatility created by COVID, probably come in slightly behind our original models, but not far off. From a leasing perspective, 21% of opening vacancy let of the space expiring in the first half, 97% of that has been re-let or renewed at a 10% positive reversion. So again, just speaks to the assets themselves capturing the structural shift in Europe and the performance of the real estate across the logistics sector. If you look forward at the full year, more than half the space has been either renewed or re-let at a positive leasing reversion of 6%. So we're almost back to the old South African reversionary rates that we used to see a few years ago. Team doing a phenomenal job on the ground in terms of managing the business. Vacancy, it remains low at 2.7% when you just strip out the two development properties that we effectively completed very, very recently. Those are both done on spec. I think they both probably, the one is about to be taken up in its entirety, and the one in Schiphol is probably at around 50% let right now. And we, as part of the deal, we had 2 years' worth of rental cover on that. As I mentioned up front, average rental collections of 95% for the 5 months to August. The remaining 5% really down to one or two tenants. Insolvencies was one tenant insolvency that they actually occupied two buildings, and a total of €600,000 or 1.3% of our annual gross rental was given as rental concessions. Almost all of that was by way of deferrals or bringing forward some of the contractual rent freeze, and of the deferrals, already north of 50% has been recovered to date. So limited bad debt risk there. I think team-wise, starting to bed it down nicely, and look, there's a lot of work to be done together with the team on the ground and with Europe, more in relation to the finance and operations of the business across Europe as opposed to on the real estate side, as you can see coming through the numbers, and we hope to have that ironed out before the end of this calendar year. The UK business, which, just a reminder, does only make up 4% of our balance sheet, but a couple of key points. Remembering, one, it is a relatively small business overall, so I think the total asset value of that business is about £300 million. And so some of these numbers, you know, are distorted because you haven't, or that business hasn't achieved the scale yet, and so there isn't the portfolio effect coming through in their numbers. The results for that business certainly impacted by a couple of insolvencies that occurred towards the back end of the last financial year as well as the beginning of this financial year. So vacancy will tick up to 19%, which is a very high number, but it is expected to reduce significantly before year end. There are negotiations in terms of the business rescue process there that look like they will yield some positive results. In terms of earnings, I mentioned that up front, that looks like it's -5 to -7, which is a lot more palatable than what you've seen coming out of, say, the South African business right now. Average rental collections of almost 90% and virtually no discounts or concessions granted, only 0.4% of annual gross rental. The challenge there is the UK government has extended effectively a moratorium on collecting arrears or having a go at tenants for arrears, and some of the big retailers have taken advantage of that, including the likes of Boots, Superdrug and others. And that ultimately is the difference between the 87 and the 100%. And again, as I mentioned up front, dividends currently being retained in the UK business until the business rescues or insolvencies have been worked through and we understand any capital requirements needed to get those properties re-let. And as a result, we have backed out 100% of the cash flow, or anticipated cash flow, out of our H1 earnings. And that's a key driver behind where we think we'll land coming into the hard close in the next few days. From a balance sheet perspective, and I know this is like a broken record, but it is a good story. I think we set this out in February, and we are very pleased with the progress. South African asset disposals, 900 million of proceeds, the sale of the Aussie stake, 800 million of proceeds, the sale of the 10% interest in the PEL platform that completed last week, and that becomes effective on October for 40 million euros, the sale of the Belgian assets into the PEL platform at 70 million euros, and that will be transferred simultaneously with the refinancing, so later in October, and that leaves really the last piece of the puzzle being the refi, and as we sit here today, the targeted date is not too far away, and we certainly are pretty confident that when we talk to the market in November, everything will be squared away. So yeah, I think the team has done an incredible job in terms of getting that to where it is today. As I mentioned also up front, from a debt maturity perspective, I think we are in a very good position, only 1.4 billion coming back at us over the next 12 months. 900 million of that is this year, December, and we are in final credit process on pretty much all of that at the moment, and we expect to conclude that early in Q3. The acquisition bridge loans are 245 million euros, were extended earlier in the year to April 2021 to take some of the pressure off and align with the refinancing. The vast majority of that is expected to be settled either on the refinancing or together with the sale of the 10% of PEL, and the balance will be refinanced in due course. And I think that's pretty much it. From a covenant perspective, everything is very comfortable across the various regions and geographies, and from an interest rate perspective, we are well covered. If we just I mentioned the H2 dividend up front, so I won't cover that off again. I think the key there is that we will consider a further top-up dividend later on in the year, depending on the outcome of the refinancing and a few other things that I mentioned up front. And, yeah, to close in terms of where we see our earnings coming in at negative 30 to 35% for this half, again, primarily due to COVID and the fact that COVID impacted us for the full 6 months of this year. You've had South Africa probably being the hardest hit, and you've seen that in the vacancy numbers spiking to 10%. Just remember, half of that vacancy spike is linked to insolvencies and business rescue, but there's good activity around at least half of that vacancy at the moment in terms of advanced negotiations. And I guess the results are offset to a large extent by Europe, which is well positioned to take advantage of what's happening there. You've seen that in the reversions. There's more leasing coming back at us in the next 6 months, and we hope to achieve a similar result. Retail in South Africa is certainly recovering, as Daryl mentioned. We're certainly a long way off the lows of April, where footfall was down negative 56 and has recovered to negative 16, and we're seeing trading density growth now for the first time in August. So that's a positive sign. As I mentioned, vacancy is likely to improve, and we expect it to improve in both South Africa and the UK. You likely see the vacancy number in Europe continue to reduce, even though it's already low, as we fill up those spec developments. In South Africa, the focus is on doing the right leasing deals. So you've seen that through some of the re-gears with Massmart and Investec Durban. And in the UK, it's about cementing the refurbishments or repositioning of the assets to release, and that should drive some outperformance from a dividend perspective, as and when the board of that UK fund believes it's the right thing to do. So I think that brings us to an end. It has been a challenging first 6 months, still a few days to go. We hope we are not going to have any surprises. But yeah, been a tale of, I guess, two stories in Europe and South Africa, and slightly different in the UK too. So yeah, with that, I guess it's over to Q&A.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone or on the keypad on your screen. If you decide to withdraw the question, please press star then two to remove yourself from the list. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. We will pause to see if there are any questions. The first question comes from Mwisho Nene from SBG Securities. Please go ahead, Mwisho.
Hey, guys. I just joined a bit late. I think I might have missed this. Did you give distributable earnings expectations for the first half of the year?
Yeah. So, you know, we anticipate that to be down by 30 to 35% over last year. So, look, to give you the exact numbers, the range there is somewhere between 46 and 49 cents per share with a couple of decimals. And as I mentioned up front, the majority of that downside comes out of South Africa. And is offset then by Europe.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, just another reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. We will pause to see if there are any further questions. The next question comes from Luqman Hamid from 91. Please go ahead, Luqman.
Maybe just two questions. So on your indicative LTV numbers for your balance sheet, is that including property portfolio devaluation upcoming over the period or not? And then maybe you could give us an update on the PLI platform as well.
So, sorry, look, when I missed the second question.
An update on the PLI platform as well, the industrial platform.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So the look, we're going through a full revaluation process at the moment. I guess, remember, we did report in May, and so our year-end, even though it was 31 March, did take into account the fact that we were in a COVID environment. I think from memory, we wrote the SA asset base down by a couple of percent. We probably anticipate some worsening potentially in the retail space and potentially in the office space just over half year, but those valuations have all been pretty conservative. Again, if I look at what the average cap rates were across the sector or across the sectors in South Africa, that was in the nines. And we had both loosened the cap rates and loosened the income assumptions at 31 March. So yeah, we're not anticipating enormous write-downs at half year, but we are going through a full process and we'd expect that to be completed in the next few days, but we don't anticipate that having a material impact on LTV. In terms of PELI or the light industrial business, there hasn't been a huge amount of activity. I mean, I think we put another 1 or 2 million euros into that. Obviously, the focus was on closing off the logistics deal, which only closed at the back end of the financial year, and so both ourselves and Aries has been focused on kind of bedding that down, getting through completion mechanisms, et cetera, et cetera. I think there is a massive opportunity there. The pipeline for that looks very, very good. And it's very time consuming to close. I mean, it's the same amount of work to close a 10 million euro deal as it is to close an 80 million euro deal. Income wise, all tracking as expected, reversions, as you would, also nicely positive. And in terms of income, cash collections, I think it's, again, from memory, if not the same or higher than where logistics was. So certainly in the mid to high 90s. Performing nicely, but I mean, at the moment, I think it's a 10 or 11 million euro investment for us. So fairly insignificant.
Thank you. The next question comes from Londiwe Butelezi from Fin24. Please go ahead, Londiwe.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. So you mentioned that half of the vacancy rate that you recorded is linked to insolvencies and business failures. So I would imagine that a space occupied by Edcon will be part of that. But I want to get a sense of whether you actually, beyond Edcon, you experience more insolvencies and business failures from tenants just over and above Edcon. And then in South Africa, you said that, you know, to improve the vacancy rate, you're looking at doing the right leasing deals like Massmart. So maybe if you can just give a bit of color of what you mean by the right leasing deals. Thank you.
There's one other tenant insolvency which was quite sizable. It's in I think it, at this stage it's about 6,000 square meters, which had a big impact on the vacancy. And then insofar as the right leasing deals go, we secured a 10-year lease profile out of Massmart. And I think in an environment like this, it is opportune to lock in well. And certainly if you're resetting now after, say, 8 years in a 10-year profile, it's very normal for somebody to be slightly over market by the time you're hitting, certainly by the time you're hitting an environment like this. So I think it's conservative from our side. It's conservative. It was opportune because Massmart themselves were looking at restructuring their portfolio. So we work closely with our kind of these tenants. And I think that what you'll see is a slight pullback in, a reversion in rent, but you'll gain it with a 10-year lease profile with a company like Massmart. I think the most important thing is we're not throwing good money after bad here. You know, the key for us is, you know, we want to preserve businesses that are in here for the long haul. We wanted to make sure that tenants that were up to date prior to the COVID environment, we would work with them through COVID. And in some cases there, we also managed to extend lease profiles. So if we gave, 1 or 2 months rent reduction or concessions, we would make it up in extension of leases. So it's not a one size fits all, but we look carefully across the portfolio, and without mentioning tenant names, but we're dealing with three other regional tenants, or kind of smaller national retailers that, it turns out that actually in our semi-urban malls, we're in the top five across the portfolio. So it gives you an opportunity of resetting tenants that, you know, certainly we're not going to take it's not a general approach to say, well, if they're giving X percent to the market, we should get the same. We're saying, well, if you're trading in the top five, then we need to be rewarded for that, and we work with them. So I hope that answers the question.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from Mwisho Nene from SBG Securities. Please go ahead, Mwisho.
Hey, guys. I just want to double-check this. IPF did take the Edcon loss up front, right, regarding the 41% rental concession last year. So I want to confirm that the losses that you're reporting from Edcon are over and above this, or are you taking a different base?
Yeah, that's correct. So we didn't pay for the equity. We took the loss. We rebased that rental from the 100, say 100 down to 60%. So that's in the number. Then you kind of lose one is some outstanding rent that was, I think, was still due at 31 March. And then you obviously lose the income for the first couple of months of this year. In that trading update, there is a statistic there. I think there was somewhere between 15 and 20,000 squares leased to Edcon. Post the restructuring, you're going to be left with about 4,500 of vacancy, and the rest is being taken up by the new owners.
And at the pre-discounted rate. So we're reverting at least back to the rate of 100%, and in some cases a little bit higher.
Ladies and gentlemen, just one final call. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. We will pause to see if there are any further questions. The next question comes from Sheldon Keston from Kagiso Asset Management. Please go ahead, Sheldon.
Hi, guys. Two questions from my end. Firstly, if you could just remind us of your strictest debt covenants, LTVs, and ICRs. And then secondly, I know that the PEL refinancing, you guys said due to be completed in around October. So can you provide any color of how that's progressing?
Sure. So, yeah, the covenants are pretty standard. I'm not going to be able to remember all of them across the different regions. But certainly at a group level, LTV of 50, and ICRs are around 2. And then in terms of the PEL refinancing, yeah, I mean, we're in the home straight, right? So
mean, it's a hugely complicated refinancing. You just think about eight geographies. You've got to try and get cross-collateralization across all eight. We could have kept them in individual SPVs, but you wouldn't get the benefit of that in the margin, and in certainly in terms of some of the covenants. I think we've done the right thing. So you've got the two banks in the Ariel and Citibank. They've got syndication. That's well progressed. You've got legal documents in the kind of home stretch. The bank DD is almost complete. So that's across environmental, legal, financial, tax, you name it. So we've got kind of key issues list that we're working through at the moment. And the expected completion date for that will be sometime in early to mid October.
Thank you. The next question comes from Suren Naidu from MoneyWeb. Please go ahead, Suren.
Good afternoon, gents. Just two questions. The line broke up a little bit. Just a refresher on the LTV position of the company. And then with regards to the UK, I know you made some retail acquisitions in the UK last year. You did mention that it's only 4% of the portfolio. But where are the devaluations in the UK sitting, considering vacancies being so high?
Yeah, sure. So, Suren, on an LTV basis, we think we'll come in at around 43% at 30 September, and that will drop further to around 37-38% post the refinancing. So by the time we report to the market in mid-November, we would expect that LTV number to be around 37-38%. In terms of the UK, the acquisitions, there were three small acquisitions made towards the end of last calendar year. Those were retail warehousing sheds leased out to Go Outdoors. They were small. I think the total asset value of those three units was around £15 million. And there was a much larger asset in Beckton, so just to the east of London, that was bought in January of 2020. That was around a £46-47 million asset, also retail warehousing underpinned by B&Q. But across those four, so Beckton and the Three Go Outdoors, they were acquired with a view to convert them down the line into last mile logistics. The Beckton asset continues to perform well. I mean, B&Q has actually done quite nicely over COVID. People have spent more in terms of home decor and the like. Guard Doors is now in business rescue, and we're in negotiations with them with the new business and the new owners around what rental levels will be for Guard Doors. That is coming out of business rescue or business administration over there in the UK. In terms of the vacancies, they've been driven, it's kind of across the portfolio, less so in the retail. I mean, if you back out Guard Doors, there's probably one other smallish vacancy up at the retail center in Great Yarmouth. But the rest, it was just one or two vacancies that took place in the light industrial parks that surround London and the M25. And that's why we think we expect that vacancy rate to come down quite significantly over the next 6 months. Those are well-positioned properties and they're attracting good interest. I mean, just go look at some of the leasing stats that those assets specifically attracted in the last financial year. I mean, they were eye-watering positive reversions. We haven't seen the external valuations come in yet from the UK. I think we would expect, at 31 March, they took quite a big knock at 31 March for COVID. So we'd done valuations at 28 February, and we updated them again at 31 March for COVID, and from memory, it was about £11 million that was knocked off the £300 million of asset value. And so I think we've taken quite a big knock for that already. I'd expect it to come in probably a little bit off coming into 30 September, but I'd be surprised if it was materially off, given that we took quite a big hit at 31 March.
Thank you.
Andrew, we have no further questions in the queue. Can I hand back to you for closing comments?
Yeah, sure. So thanks, guys. I guess we're into close, and we'll look to close out on the PEL refinancing that is critical. But eyes are 100% on the leasing frontier in South Africa. Certainly, life is starting to pick up again, and you've seen that in some of the stats. Hopefully, we've got a lot more colour by the time we speak to you again in mid-November. But you're mildly positive about what the next 6 months holds, even though it's certainly a challenging. Biggest risk for us is around bad debt and how companies survive the current environment. But I think the quality of our underlying real estate has come to the fore here, and certainly the diversified balance sheet, the split between South Africa and Europe, has worked quite nicely. But yeah, that's it from us, and look forward to talking to you again in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.